Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, tonight we are looking at the core message of the Bible. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Now, you might have heard that so many times before. You're thinking, Steve, what are you going on about? Why do you keep repeating it? Well, let me tell you why. Because in eternity, we will be singing, salvation belongs to the Lord, with great joy and awe and wonder. Even the kookaburras are singing it, yeah. And so why is it I can tell a room full of God's people salvation belongs to the Lord and not get a single amen? Did you notice that? Now, in fairness, I think it's mostly cultural. Okay, we're Aussies and we're Reformed evangelicals. All right, so as Aussies, we're not as expressive as, say, Africans. And as Reformed evangelicals, we're not as expressive as Charismatics. But I think there's another more important reason why I didn't get a cheer when I said salvation belongs to the Lord. I think it's because we tend to grow comfortable with God's grace. You see, salvation belongs to the Lord implies three uncomfortable truths. An uncomfortable truth number one, we don't deserve salvation. Uncomfortable truth number two, we cannot earn salvation. And uncomfortable truth number three, our salvation cost God more than we can imagine. To enjoy the depths of God's grace, we need to admit the depths of our rebellion and our hopelessness. Now listen, I don't think there's ever been a time in history when we have been so saturated by a message that is polar opposite to those three biblical truths. Think about all the discipling that we're copying as we spend time on our screens. You know, whether it's chat rooms, influencers, advertising, all telling us we're special. We deserve better. We can be better. We can do better. No podcast is going to go viral with those three biblical truths. But here's the thing. As we keep clinging to the falsehood that we are special, we will fail to grasp the power and the freedom of God's grace. Helpless come to you for grace. And so from Jonah's prayer, deep, deep, deep in the darkness, we're going to look at each of those three uncomfortable truths. We don't deserve salvation. We cannot earn salvation. Our salvation cost God more than we can imagine. That's where we're headed. And so firstly, we do not deserve salvation. At the beginning of our Jonah series 6 weeks ago, we learned the simplest definition of sin. Sin is running away from God. And one of the central truths of the Bible is that we all run away from God. I think the big reason why the Old Testament is so long is so that God can present to us overwhelming evidence. We all run away from God. From Adam and Eve through to you and me, we're running away from God. But, and this is really important, we also heard the simplest definition of grace. Grace is God pursuing the sinner. What a helpful summary of the book of Jonah. Jonah running away from God. God pursuing Jonah the sinner, running, pursuing sin, grace. Now, one of the clever writing techniques we discover in Jonah, have you noticed it yet? And note well, English HSC students, yeah? Is the use of the word down. Have you noticed it? Keeps appearing. Jonah went down to Joppa. He went down to a ship. Jonah went down into the hull of the ship. Last week we heard that Jonah was thrown down into the sea. And tonight we're going to discover that Jonah was taken down into the deepest depths of the sea. Down, down, down. Let's read chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah 1, verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Real question. Ready? You're allowed to call out the answer. Who appointed the fish? Yeah. Note that. And note well. God appointed a great fish to take Jonah down. There was no accident. This wasn't some act of nature. No, that was God mercifully breaking Jonah. Listen again to Jonah's prayer. I'll read it from chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Down to Joppa, down to into the hull of the ship, down into the water, down into the belly of the fish, down to the very depths of the sea, as if the bars of death were surrounding him. God appointed a great fish to take Jonah down, down, down. Here we learn a very important lesson. God uses the depths to grow his children. When Nicole was pregnant with our second child, she spent 3 months in the hospital. And it ended well. She's now 22, okay? My daughter, not my wife. It was a scary time for us. It was a frightening time. We quickly learned that our hope is not in modern medicine, but from God, who determines beginning from end. We grew more dependent on prayer. We grew more dependent on the friendships of church family in this season. It was a hard 3 months for sure. But it was a rich 3 months as we learned how near God is, how good church family is, how good family is. We learned important lessons from dark depths. Friends, that really is the big idea of this sermon. You may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. You may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Now, how does that tie into this uncomfortable truth, we don't deserve salvation? Well, Are you still trying to earn your salvation? Do you still turn up to church community trying to impress other Christians with your godliness? Do not make the mistake of thinking that on Judgment Day, everyone is going to bring their naughty and nice list and hope that the nice column outweighs the naughty column. No, no, no. Jesus paid it all. It's all to him we owe. Our sin, yes, it has left a crimson stain, but Jesus washes it all away. Brother, sister, we don't deserve salvation. Oh, but through Jesus Christ, we have salvation. Which is why a Christian can lift their heads high and say to everyone, I am better than I deserve. Okay, that's uncomfortable truth one. We don't deserve salvation. And now to uncomfortable truth two, we cannot earn salvation. Have a look at verse 4. Jonah prayed, Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. And then jump down to verse 7. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Did you notice the two uses of temple? I bet you did. Now, some people, some religions have talismans, some superstitions hold on to talismans. A talisman is an object that is thought to have magic powers that brings good luck. Is that what Jonah was doing? He was in his mind eye, he's looking to the temple, hoping for good luck. Obviously not. You were all about to say that because the Bible has nothing to teach about good luck. The Bible is from a God who is in control of everything, a God who is sovereign over all. There are two reasons Jonah's prayer includes this gaze upon the temple. The first one's very apparent from verse 7. It's because the Old Testament represented God's presence. And so as Jonah's wanting to seek God, he looks to the temple, to God's presence. But I think there's another reason Jonah looked to the temple. And I'm not sure that Jonah was even consciously aware of why he was doing it. You see, outwardly, the Jewish Old Testament temple was visually impressive. It had ornate hangings, covered in gold and silver and precious stones, outwardly, visually stunning. But inside was something that was hidden from sight. The Ark of God's covenant with Israel. It was a wooden chest that contained the Ten Commandments. And so there was the temple. And inside the temple was a room called the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies was this ark. And inside the ark was the Ten Commandments. Nobody was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies because the ark with the Ten Commandments represented God who is holy and nobody who is unholy can come into the holy presence of God. But, and here is the element that is at the heart of the heart of the temple. There was also something called the mercy seat. Now, I did say no one could enter the Holy of Holies. That's not quite true. Once a year, the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies with the blood of a goat. The blood was payment for sin. You see, even though we don't deserve salvation, God made a way of salvation. And so God placed the Ten Commandments in the heart of the temple. But God also provided a mercy seat. You see, the heart of God is not just justice, The heart of God is also mercy. No other God, no other religion, no other philosophy holds up both justice and mercy. Jonah looked to the temple because the temple tells the story of God's heart. God is holy, and true holiness cannot turn a blind eye to sin and rebellion and injustice. We must have a God of justice at the heart of the universe. The alternative would be indifference. Imagine at the heart of the universe was indifference to right and wrong. That would be a nightmare. There must be justice at the heart. But imagine a universe where sinners like you and I live and there was no mercy. Brothers and sisters, our God is merciful. And sometimes his mercy is severe. God appointed a great fish to take Jonah down, down, down. Down to the end of himself. You see, it's only when we realize that we're at the end of ourselves that God is all we have. Brother, sister, have you been broken by God's grace yet? Where is it that you're still trying to earn your salvation? You see, not only do we not deserve salvation, we cannot earn salvation. We must throw ourselves on the mercy of God. And so here's a great prayer to pray every day. We learn it from Jesus' parable to the Pharisee and the tax collector. Dear God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Even I can remember that one. Dear God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. Every day as we go about our relationships and we go about our tasks at school and at work, dear God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. That's a great daily prayer. Okay, we've looked at the first two uncomfortable truths. We do not deserve salvation. We cannot earn salvation. Now to uncomfortable truth three. Our salvation cost God more than we can imagine. Read from verse 8 with me. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will pay, salvation belongs to the Lord. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of what, according to verse 8? Somebody said grace? Yeah. Let's just go with grace for now. That was you, Janice, wasn't it? What Bible translation are you using?
NIV.
Excellent. Awesome. I was hoping she was going to say NIV. All right. A lot of us have ESV. I've got steadfast love. And what sits behind steadfast love, what sits behind grace, is a Hebrew word called hesed. I'm supposed to say it with a guttural back throat, so any of you from the Middle East, forgive me. Chesed. It appears 250 times in the Old Testament, this big, powerful word, hesed. It means steadfast. It means loving kindness. It means compassion. It means mercy. It means love that endures. It means love that never lets go. It means grace. It means steadfast love. Hesed, what a word. We've reached the halfway point of Jonah. And we reach the blazing center of God's better story. Hesed is the blazing center of God's word to his people. We must throw ourselves on God's steadfast love, which is why God's people shout, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." Now, there's two sides to salvation. There is the salvation from side, and there is the salvation to side. And unfortunately, I mean, there is a salvation from side, but we spend most of our time thinking about the salvation from side. God's salvation is a salvation from punishment. Remember, none of us deserve salvation. We actually deserve God's punishment. And so salvation is from God's punishment. And that is a good thing. But it doesn't stop there. God's salvation is also a salvation to his family, into his steadfast love, into his grace. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells the parable that we now call the prodigal son. A son, while he was still young, fronted up to his dad and said, "I want my inheritance now." And for some reason, the father gave it to him. And so he takes all of that money and he runs off and he spends it. He squanders it on wild living. He went through it quicker than a lottery winner goes through their millions of dollars in lottery. And he found himself homeless and hungry. And as he came to his senses, he said, "I'm going to go back home. Not as a son anymore, but as a servant." And he walks up the road to meet his dad. And he says to his dad, "I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But it was as if the father did not hear a word his son was saying. The father just wrapped the son in his arms and he's kissing his forehead and he's telling the servants, "Hey, go clean up my son, bring in some fancy clothes, throw on a fancy banquet." His lost son was now returned. What do you call that? The Bible tells us over and over and over again. Steadfast love. Grace. Mercy. Love that never lets go. Hesed. The son wanted to return as a servant and earn his room and board. The father would have none of it. The father didn't want another employee. The father celebrated his son has come home. Now there's one more piece we must insert into Jesus' parable in order to see the entirety of God's better story. You see, if we take Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son, out of the Bible, we'll get it wrong. You see, it would be possible to picture this father as corrupt. Because if it was a servant that took half of the kingdom, ran off and wasted it all, and came back to the father and said, "Hey, can I have my job back?" The father would punish that servant, and rightly so. The parable of the lost son must be interpreted in light of God's whole story, because mercy without justice is corruption. Mercy without justice is corruption, which brings us to the blazing center of God's better story. The mercy seat in the Old Testament, it was only a sign. The blood of goats could never atone for sin. But the thousands and thousands and thousands of goats did point to a lamb, a perfect lamb, that would come and be sacrificed once and for all. What's his name?
Jesus.
Let's go. You guys are much better than morning church. I called morning church lame this morning. Our sin deserves punishment. We're all like the son in Jesus' parable. God, I'm going to take your blessings, but I'm going to spend them without any regard to you. God, I want your stuff, but stuff you. Until we accept the fact that everything we have, even the air that we're breathing right now, is a gift from God, we will never understand how ugly our self-sufficiency is. And you might want to argue with me. You might want to say, yeah, but I earned my ATAR. I've earned where I am in this life. And there's truth. I'm sure you've worked hard for where you are right now. But friend, I want to encourage you to humble yourself. We could have been born in Gaza to the poorest of poor parents, wondering where our next meal is going to come from. We must all be broken by God's grace. Today we don't look to the temple. We look to the cross of Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We're the ones who've forsaken God. And yet it was Jesus who left heaven so that we could have heaven. It is Jesus who died so that we can live. It's Jesus who was forsaken so that we can be accepted. And it's Jesus who's been raised so we can be embraced. Our salvation cost God more than we can imagine. But the good news is that God freely, graciously, lavishly pours out his salvation through Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm going to say it one more time. Salvation belongs to the Lord.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.